Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lips scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
Well, depending on who your commissioner is, it's either week 15 or week 16. We welcome you to the show on Monday, July 18th. Adam, Heath, Scott. Follow us on Twitter at CBS Scott White, at Heath Cummings Sr., Heath Cummings SR, and at Adam Azer, AIZER. Enough self-promotion. Good morning, guys. How was the short weekend, or, you know, the short week, I guess, for fantasy baseball?
Not great. I only had a few leagues where Scott's the commissioner, and we had three-day weeks. And those are the only leagues that I play in where I had a three-day week.
Yeah, Scott's so old school.
Yeah, so and those didn't go great. It's really a good feeling when after a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, your record's got another loss on it.
They went great for me, and I had this thought over the weekend that I'm not sure, because I feel like the reaction from the podcast leaguers, their excitement about it being extended to a 10-game week in those leagues, and maybe some of the emailers too. It seemed universal that they liked the idea of extending it to a 10-day week. But I don't I could understand if you're doing well, you have a good record, and you're just trying to preserve what leads you have, that you would want as few matchups as possible. But if you're coming from behind in your league, don't you want the opportunity to bank another win?
But that's dirty, man. I mean,
it's not dirty. First of all, it's the default setting, so I don't think you could call it dirty because of that.
That's our fault. We should change the default setting.
No, it's a bad setting. Just because it's default doesn't mean it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's the bad setting. It would be like if in week 14 of the NFL season, the commissioner came out and said, everybody's just playing a half this week.
Well, okay, but why is it... You're saying a game and a half. Like, this week, okay, it's 10 days instead of 7, but it still counts as only one win. Isn't that just as...
No.
No.
Why not?
Not at all.
I don't know. You're the only one who is not seeing the light on this,
Scott. I've never met anyone else in my life that likes a three-day week.
You guys are both glass half-emptiers.
That has nothing to do with it.
No.
Yes, it does.
Why? I don't think it's the right way to play. Like...
What makes 10 days the right way to play?
Well, your idea about two 5-day weeks is fine with me too, but baseball is not meant to be played in 3 days. Fantasy baseball should not be played in 3 days. First of all, you don't know if any of your starting pitchers are going to make a start. At least you know when you have a 7-day week or a 10-day week that your starting pitcher is almost guaranteed to make a start unless he's going to get skipped or something like that. You have a 3-day week, it's completely random chance. It's all a matter of how the manager is setting their rotation. You have no control over that. You could be stuck with two guys making starts going up against an opponent that has five guys making starts. Well, it is terrible, Scott.
But
Come on.
By the time you set your lineup, you know, and you can make adjustments. You
Not necessarily.
Pick up players,
two-star
pitchers, you pick up one-star pitchers.
No, they wait very long sometimes to set their rotation after the All-Star break, and there might not be anybody available on waivers worth adding. It is a setup for a really unfair week.
I feel like the only argument you really have is that's the way we've set it up as the default.
Yeah,
and we should just change that for next year.
Well,
and then that won't be an argument anymore.
No, I think there's also the argument that either way you look at it, it's a corruption of the schedule.
Corruption.
Because it's not a normal 7-day. Every other week is 7 days.
Right.
10 days is imperfect. 3 days is imperfect.
Who cares? I don't know.
There's no right answer.
Scott, you got to come around on this. 90%
of the fantasy baseball population agrees with it.
You got to come around, Scott.
I don't know why those who are trailing would feel that way.
Who cares if you're trailing? I mean, it's the matter of what is fair. It doesn't matter if you're trailing or if you're winning.
It's fair.
It
applies to everybody, it's fair.
Right is not changed by circumstance. What's right is right.
What would make it unfair is if the commissioner said, coming into the season, it's a 10-day week. And then as it gets to the All-Star break, you know, he's you know, 5 and 8 or whatever and says, nah, I'll change it to a 3-day week. Yeah. That would be unfair.
That would be unfair. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up because I am winning in the podcast points league by 1 point right now after 3 days. So I am considering changing that to just a 3-day week and going back to the default.
I would be good with that ruling because I'm beating Scott, I think, by 10 points.
Okay. Okay. Scott, you get your wish, Scott. Scott, you get your wish, okay?
Let's just change it to a 3-day officially now.
Well, you can't change it after the fact.
You wanted a three, Scott.
We'll
you're going
to
get
you
your
want.
Three.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
That's unfair.
That would be unfair. All right. Now, the ironic thing is for it being a 3-day week, and for a lot of my leagues, not even having to set a new lineup today on Monday, which is obviously unusual, I made so many ad drops this weekend because it's been a very interesting weekend with players getting called up, obviously with Yulieski Gurriel being signed by the Astros, and he was on waivers until this morning. How many leagues do you now own Yulieski Gurriel in, guys?
I own him in one. Seems like Heath picked him up in a few, though.
I got him in one. Heath?
I got him in two.
Okay.
Two.
Okay.
All right. When do you think he will make his debut for the Astros? Also, John Heyman tweeting and everybody sort of knowing Alex Bregman's coming up very soon. What do you guys think happens there with the Astros, infield and outfield?
Well, yeah, I mean, I took it as bad news for Bregman because obviously we were anticipating third base would be what Bregman played when it got called up, and that's Gurriel's position. But either one could probably play the outfield. If they wanted to go that route, obviously being an AL team, they have the DH spot they could play with. I think Gurriel, the hope is 3 weeks from the Astros, but you know, it's been a long time since he's played any baseball. I don't know. That seems kind of aggressive to me, but ultimately they're the one calling the shots. I guess we have to see how he does in the minors. But obviously, when he does come up, assuming he does have an everyday job, and I don't see why he wouldn't. Very exciting. His numbers, you know, we've seen a lot of hitters come over from Cuba the last few years. Some have worked out, some haven't. But the one whose numbers were far and away the best in Cuba was Jose Abreu. Gurriel's are up to his standard. So
yeah, he is 32, right?
Did we set an over-under for when he gets here? For when he plays his first game, I'm going to go August 8th.
August 8th? That would be exactly 3 weeks from today. So yeah, that seems like a fair over-under.
Okay.
I will take the over, meaning later in August, but not by much.
Now, who's more of a must-add to you, Alex Bregman or Yulieski Gurriel, who's only 17% owned, signed a 5-year, $47.5 million deal. I thought he'd be more owned, but only 17%, so he's out there in a lot of leagues.
I don't like the term must add for either one of these guys. They're more of a luxury, I think, than a must add.
Really?
You've got to have the roster spot for them.
I can't imagine not being able to make a spot for either of them.
Well, you didn't pick up. Did you try to pick up Gurriel in every league?
Yeah, I tried to pick him up in every league. I got outbid in some of the fab leagues. That's, you know, fair. But I made an aggressive bid.
So he's owned in 100% of your leagues now?
Yes.
But 17% of other leagues.
Was he picked up in our podcast listeners league, our shallowest league?
He should have been because I had a claim in for him.
Okay, then he was.
Now, like if it came down to a choice, even though Gurriel's timeline is a little clearer, I think I would prefer Bregman because I actually feel more confident in how he's going to transition from the minors than I do Gurriel to the majors. After, you know, such an extended time not playing baseball.
Okay.
I'd be excited to have either.
Gurriel, by the way, has played a little shortstop and second base, and the Astros actually DH Jose Altuve more than you might think. He's DH three times in their last six games. So it does happen. It just, you know, I'm not saying that will happen. It wouldn't change anybody's value, but it could just be another way to get both guys in the lineup. Who were some, like I said, I added a lot of players over the weekend, and I thought this was a weekend where, like, every single pitching performance seemed noteworthy. There were a lot of really good ones. There weren't that many really bad ones. I feel like there wasn't a lot of hitting over the weekend. In fact, I think that might be a little typical after the All-Star break. It does take, especially the first game after the All-Star break, I've noticed it the last couple of years, low-scoring games. So the pitching was mostly good. And with that said, I know we kind of poo-pooed Hector Santiago, but he had his best start, or one of his best starts of the year, so I picked him up. I think I dropped Lucas Giolito. What about you guys? Any exciting ad drops for you this weekend?
Not really, because we only had 3 days for circumstances to change. I think there were the biggest conclusion I came to was that James Paxton is no longer must-own. So if there was a scenario where I was looking to pick somebody up, I think maybe in a couple leagues he was the guy I would have dropped for Gurriel had that move gone through.
Yeah, I picked up Ryan Healy. I think it was actually on Friday, but it was after the podcast. I picked up Gio Gonzalez in a couple leagues just because I feel like I really feel like he's a guy that should be pretty close to must-own. He's had some pretty bad luck and a couple of really bad starts in the month of June.
But that's what we said about him last year. It was always the bad luck because he doesn't give up home runs, the BABIP was high, this and that, and he just wasn't doing anything.
I understand. I wouldn't say he's not doing anything when he's striking out more than a batter per inning. Yeah. I think he should. He went 5-8, striking out more than a batter per inning for a really good Nationals team. I would expect he's going to win more games, considerably more games in the second half. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to be an ace for you, but I definitely think he's a guy that you're going to start more weeks than you don't.
All right. So you picked up Gio.
Probably in a lot of leagues where I dropped him.
Now, I picked up Ryan Healy too, Heath. And yeah. Hit a home run over the weekend for the A's. Heath, what do you expect from Healy, who they just called up? I think he's 24 years old and didn't do much in the minors in 2014 or 15, but this year had a really, really good year and I guess off to a good start.
Yeah, it's a really good year for sure. He was over an 850 OPS in AAA after 36 games with a 1,000 OPS in AA. I think he could be a decent. The league I picked him up in was AL only, so I was very happy to get him. I think he could be a decent source of power, though. I don't know that I would expect him. I mean, he's hit like 330 so far this year in the minors. I think he's probably going to be closer to 260, 270. But he could give you some pop in the second half.
I don't know that I see him as a big power source. I think he profiles more as like a Billy Butler type player. It obviously the good Billy Butler, not right. Billy Butler with the A's.
So you do think he's going to hit 300?
I mean, maybe not as a rookie. I didn't pick him up anywhere.
Right.
But I was kind of surprised to see that they kind of just handed him the third base job.
They don't like Danny Valencia much.
It seems like it.
Yeah, what is up with that? So Valencia, how droppable is he? Because the first thing I thought was, all right, he's just going to get traded soon, Valencia, and he'll be an everyday player again. So let me, in case you're not familiar, I'll catch everybody up on a lot of the news. So Oakland calls up Ryan Healy. They're also going to be playing Jake Smolinski more. That means guys like Coco Crisp, and as my phone calls him, and I think we should stick with this one here, Fanny Valencia, I think is the autocorrect of the day, and I think we stick with Fanny Valencia. He's apparently going to lose playing time, might play a little bit of first base, but also I think it was Susan Slusser reported that Fanny Valencia not drawing much trade interest. So is he just completely droppable at this point?
I think at this, really, the reason he's probably not very tradable is you pretty much have to trade him to an American League team because I don't think anybody wants to play him anywhere besides DH. He has been an abomination at third base this year. He's got negative 17 defensive runs saved, which is worse than like 75% of all teams. he's been awful. And I mean, he's hit the crap out of the ball.
I know he's a good hitter,
but I don't think like maybe the Indians add him as a DH. But you look at the teams, and I was thinking about this with the Royals, because I think it's getting pretty close for them to make a decision on whether to just sell Kendrys Morales. There's not very many American League teams that are in the race that are looking for a DH.
What about a first baseman? Morales can play first base. Valencia played first base on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's played some outfield before, too. Well, they both technically have played some outfield. I would guess Valencia's a little better at it than Morales.
I'm not sure Valencia's better at anything defensively than anyone.
I'm not sure either, but that's my guess.
Yeah.
Is he droppable? Let's just answer
I
that.
Dropped him. I mean,
I don't know.
Probably not a roto league, but
right.
Head to head. Yeah.
I don't know anybody that's a bigger Danny Valencia fan than Scott White. If he dropped him, I think he's definitely droppable.
Pittsburgh moved Jonathan Neese to the bullpen. So what does that mean for their rotation going forward?
Probably means Chad Kuhl sticking around, which is cool.
Yeah.
Tyone's
going to start tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Do they still have room for Glasnow to come back?
They might also move Jeff Locke to the bullpen, from what I understand.
Jeff is no lock to remain in the rotation. I would hope that Glasnow is going to take Locke's spot.
I would hope so too. I'm amazed Locke has held on to a rotation spot this long. And I don't just mean this year. I mean, this far into his career, he's still a starting pitcher in the majors. That's nutty to me.
The Mets called up Michael Conforto. I did add him. I dropped Steven Moya. Nobody that I was going to miss because the Tigers sent him to AAA. So, Conforto, look, I still think that there's a good player there. He showed really good stuff, and then he got very cold and apparently got very pull happy. Went down to the minors to the PCL, and Conforto was outstanding. Now they call him up, but it's very strange because Yoenis Cespedes, he's been dealing with this leg injury. He does not want to play center field. Juan Lagares is playing well. Curtis Granderson's playing better. What do they do with Michael Conforto now?
Yeah, I don't know. They either say too bad to Yoenis Cespedes, they try Conforto in center field himself, or the most likely scenario is Conforto's coming off the bench.
Nah, that would be annoying.
Yeah, I didn't bother to pick him up, even though he was very good at AAA.
Arizona called up 28-year-old outfielder Mike Freeman. I'm going to guess not much interest there.
No.
Okay. And the Nationals are going with Ronaldo Lopez this week in their starting rotation. They're calling him up to make a start. And that's part of the reason I dropped Giolito. Also, I'm not sure Giolito's quite ready for this level.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if Lopez does any better. Guys can throw 100 miles per hour. And until this year, it hadn't really translated to big strikeout totals, but he's had several double-digit strikeout efforts in the minors this year. I actually... toward the end of last week, I came out with my prospect, a column, the prospects whose stock has risen the most since the start of the year. Lopez was, I think, second for me on that list. Ryan Healy was also on that list, for what it's worth. He was an honorable mention. But Lopez, I think, I think it's probably too fast for him. He was only recently promoted to AAA, but good stuff. So we'll see.
And, we'll see. So, Ronaldo Lopez, I guess I haven't seen him added in any leagues. I think people are tired of it, these pitching prospects not doing well.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. In terms of trade rumors, according to Ken Rosenthal, the Yankees will trade Carlos Beltran and Aroldis Chapman if they keep losing. No surprise there. And according to Fox Sports, Texas is interested in Matt Moore. That would be bad, right?
That'd be terrible.
Scott, you might feel differently about Matt Moore. He's had a really good stretch, but in this really good stretch, I'll look up the specifics. Only two games have been on the road, and one of them was very good at pretty good at the Red Sox. Gave up a couple of unearned runs, and I think four runs, two earned, something like that. But I still do worry about Matt Moore away from Tampa Bay. How about you, Scott?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready to get excited about Moore. I mean, I own him in leagues. I don't think he's just sitting out there on the waiver wire anywhere, but I'm not like totally trusting in him, because even during this good stretch playing half his games at Tampa Bay, the strikeout rate has been way, way down, and that's like what he's supposed to excel at. So, and then, yeah, if he leaves Tampa Bay, pitcher who struggles with the home run, I'd worry about him then too.
Yeah.
He's just kind of another one of those pitchers on my bench who I try to play matchups with and get frustrated with, but don't see anything better available on waivers, so just kind of stays there.
Okay, yeah, Matt Moore, his last seven starts, six of them, two earned runs or less, four in a row, and only two of those seven have been on the road. So he's been at home a lot. But he pitched well against Baltimore. That was impressive over the weekend. Now, who wants to save $20? When buying tickets, let me tell you about SeatGeek. I got my Counting Crows Rob Thomas seats, and I did have a little Spotify jam session in the car to Rob Thomas in Matchbox 20 over the weekend. Now I'm getting pumped about it. But look, I could have gone online. I could have looked at different websites, done a lot of price comparison. Instead, I use my SeatGeek app. It does all the work for me. Now you can either go to SeatGeek.com or download the app. SeatGeek is the only thing I use to buy or sell tickets to concerts or sporting events. So you want to know why? Well, as I mentioned, pulls in all tickets from multiple ticket sites so you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek will also alert you when prices are lowering for events that you're interested in. And they rank their seats based on value. You go in the app, you see a big green dot. That means it's a great value. You see, you know, a smaller dot, not quite as green. It's still a good value, but not quite as good. But anyway, it's a really cool feature. I think you're going to like it a lot. It's easy to use. It's awesome. It makes sense. Use SeatGeek. Get $20 back after your first purchase to get your $20 rebate on tickets. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FANTASY, all caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. And if you forget that code, you can tweet me at Adam Azer. I've been helping a lot of people out with that. I think a lot of people enjoying that SeatGeek deal, so take advantage of it. All right, the big news. Clayton Kershaw could start this week, but it's not guaranteed. So if you're setting your lineup today, start or sit Clayton Kershaw?
Sit. I think I'd play it safe outside of really deep leagues.
Yep.
Okay. AJ Pollock threw a tennis ball, and he insists he will play this season. Chip Hale is not as bullish, and I want to thank Chad, by the way, for emailing me about that. We talked about it on Friday. Didn't really know. He sent me an email about AJ Pollock, and now I know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know.
I mean, even if he comes back, I mean, just considering where he is in the timeline, you're talking September at some point. I don't know. I'm not particularly motivated to keep stashing him.
Daniel Murphy was unable to start all weekend, but he did hit a pinch hit game tying home run off Mark Melancon yesterday, sending the game to extras. It would end in 18 innings. Everybody saw that fan who was really into it. Did you guys see
no.
that kid?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
That was interesting because he was 4 years old, right?
He was young. That's what I was thinking. Like, dude, he's been there for almost 6 hours.
Well, I was thinking, like, when I went to a baseball game when I was 4, when I was 5, like, I had no idea what I was looking at. I'm just impressed that
you knew what a home run was, though.
No.
Yes.
I didn't. I had no idea. Yes. It was just little ants on a field. I mean, we're way up high. It was ants on a field, and I was looking around at the different things they could be eating. That was my baseball experience at that kid's age. So I'm impressed that he could follow what was happening in the game.
Yeah. Well, we have a story on it on our website. It says, young fan gets emotional as part of the headline. Did you know he was 4? I didn't see his age.
I think I saw that on somewhere on social media for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. Well, it was adorable, Heath. You should check it out.
Yeah. I'm sure I would enjoy it. And I think most 4 and 5 year olds know what home runs are.
Adam Conley threw the worst wild pitch in baseball history. That's another thing you should look up. Yan Gomes left Sunday's game with a potentially serious shoulder injury. Chris Giménez would be replacing him if you are desperate for a catcher. David Peralta began a rehab assignment. Rich Hill threw 5 pitches and he left with his blister, so that's annoying. Yoenis Cespedes returned Sunday. Tyler Skaggs, look at this rehab start he made. 7 innings, 1 run, no hits, no walks. Okay, no. I got it now.
Let's
I got it
over.
Now.
You got, I think you have one too many numbers here.
No, I got it. I just said it wrong. I skipped a column. 7 innings, 1 hit, no runs, no walks, and 14 strikeouts for I'm gonna Tyler Skaggs. Anybody interested in Tyler Skaggs?
Yeah, I think we should probably start to get excited about him. I mean, former top prospect who was showing signs of breaking through before needing Tommy John surgery. I mean, he was, the way I remember it, he was kind of on and off the waiver wire, good starts and some bad starts. But he's been, I mean, it's not just this one start, he's been really good on his rehab assignment.
Okay. Tyler Skaggs, Angels pitcher. Gregory Polanco is either going to play Tuesday or go on the DL. Steve Pierce started a rehab assignment, and Tyrell Jenkins will join the Atlanta rotation on Tuesday. So, in addition to all those pitching performances, bullpens, which we haven't even talked about, by the way, bullpens, there's some bullpen madness going on here. You look at the A's bullpen, and I know Scott's been stashing Ryan Dahl. He's still pitching well, But Ryan Madsen still getting the saves. He got two this weekend. Of course, he also gave up a solo home run and getting a second one. So do you have any updated thoughts on the A's, Scott?
Not really. I mean, the nice thing about Dull is he's so much ERA and whip help, even if he's not getting saves. I kind of like having him around in those categories leagues.
Yeah. All right. Senwan Oh struggled in a non-save situation on Friday. I don't think that's a big deal. Arodis Vizcaino's on the DL with an oblique strain, so Jim Johnson is another player I picked up over the weekend. But apparently Mauricio Cabrera could get some save chances as well. Jim Johnson's going to be the first crack at it for Atlanta.
Yeah.
He's pitching well, though.
Yeah.
Not this weekend. How much did you value Arodis Vizcaino, who's clearly a superior pitcher?
Do you know why I picked up Jim Johnson? Because this is a league where there aren't closers available. And I have Santiago Casilla. And I'm worried about Santiago Casilla. And actually, I think what might be an even smarter move for me is dropping Jim Johnson and picking up Sergio Romo. Because Casilla blew his fifth save of the season, gave up three singles, I believe, but three hits, two runs, without recording an out on Saturday. And it was his first time pitching in a week, you know, and that's something to keep in mind with all these relievers over the weekend. But, I don't know. He's not really, Casilla's not really having that great of a season. And now that Romo is back, I think that's a logical replacement.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
We've been thinking that for like 18 months though. That Santiago Casilla is just about ready to lose his job.
Yeah.
What's weird is Santiago Casilla's had far and away his best bat missing season. Like he's been more dominant than ever, yet more vulnerable than ever. It's a strange
kind of
dichotomy.
Well, it's kind of strange other than that's exactly what's happening in baseball. There's more strikeouts and more home runs than ever in baseball. I was looking at something really strange. One of the radio guys in Kansas City had tweeted out that Soria has a 3.6 ERA, but that's still much better than the league average. And I assumed that he was talking about league average, including starters and relievers.
Yeah.
Relievers have a 3.94 ERA.
Wow. Wow.
That's gross.
We've got to adjust our what's average and what's good.
And it was just so abrupt, too. I don't know. I don't know. Is it just a blip, or is this going to be the new normal? We'd finally gotten used to how dominant pitching was.
That's going to be the big question on draft day next year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All throughout the spring training, we're going to be talking. So do you draft pitchers earlier now than we used to because pitching is scarce and everybody can hit? It's a complete flip from what we thought, or is this just a one-year blip? I think I said last week home runs are at their highest since 2000, which was height of the steroid era.
Yep.
It's crazy. Okay, Tyler Clipper pitched poorly yesterday. He still hasn't gotten a save since the Ziegler trade. And Tony Cingrani was bad on Friday. Ross Ohlendorf came out, got a one-out save. I don't think anything big here, right?
Well, Jake Barrett was the one who bailed out Clippard and ended up getting a save, and his numbers are good enough that I could see the Diamondbacks going to him next time. Not a super exciting pickup, but somebody to at least be aware of.
As far as the hitters go, there are three guys who are owned in 16% of leagues or less, and that means they're out there for you if you want them. Do you want Boston catcher Sandy Leon, who is batting .452? Travis Jankowski, who since he started playing fairly regularly, he still doesn't play every day. This was about a month ago. Jankowski is the number 42 outfielder in points leagues. You're not going to want him there. But number 26 outfielder in roto leagues because he has 11 steals in that stretch. And that's pretty impressive. On the season, he has 16 steals and 111 at-bats. So that's a tremendous rate. And he's 10% owned. So Leon, Jankowski, and then Tommy Pham is 5% owned. He had a two-homer game against the Marlins on Friday. How about those three guys?
I wrote a piece last week on right before the second half started on roto fixes. And kind of looking at a category by category way to fix your team. And Jankowski was the guy I focused on for stolen bases. And Scott and I talked about it a little bit before I put him on there. I think you're probably going to see Jankowski play even more in the second half because the Padres are going to be unloading pieces. He is doing a good job of producing in steals and really not too bad in runs since he started playing every day. I don't know that he's going to be the 26 outfielder, but he's definitely going to be top 60 in Roto if he's playing even five times a week.
The one I want to highlight here is Tommy Pham, who is up to five home runs in his 57 at bats and is a guy who, even though he's 28, I've seen some scouts be really excited about his potential. Now, right now, Brandon Moss is on the DL, and Matt Holliday's been in and out of the lineup, so maybe Pham starting five straight games isn't something that can continue. I mean, Randall Grichuk's been great since coming up, so I don't think the Cardinals are going to take him out of the lineup. But if Pham were to get regular bats, I could see him becoming an outfield sleeper.
Now, also, you mentioned all those injuries, Cardinals guys, Brandon Moss, Matt Holliday being in and out of the lineup, also Carpenter out, so moving parts. But it should be worth noting that Jankowski started playing because John Jay got hurt. And that was one of the reasons I guess I didn't pick him up, is I just thought he'll go back to being a bench player when John Jay gets back. But are we just not that worried about that?
Well, there's talks out there that the first player the Padres might trade is John Jay, which I don't know how it works if a guy still has a broken arm. But that apparently is someone that's getting a lot of interest on the trade market. I'm not sure he's going to play another game for the Padres.
Okay. Also, the Cardinals, I think it's interesting that we have to talk about this here. Ichiro played a three-game set at St. Louis, and he got amazing ovations throughout the weekend. He had three hits, I think, on Sunday. He's, what, six away from 3,000 now. Does it bother you, Heath, that Cardinals fans are just so much nicer than Royals fans? Royals fans would never do something like that for an opponent.
What's the Twitter account that you need to follow if you want information on that? I won't say it. You can find it if you want to find it, but there is there's a Twitter account out there that does nothing but retweet Cardinals fans just to show you how nice they are.
Please.
So I think they are definitely very passionate, and there are some very good Cardinals fans, especially the ones that live in St. Louis.
Okay, good. Glad to know it. So let's get into the starting pitchers here. Here were your super awesome starts from the weekend. How is Matt Shoemaker only 82% owned? How about a complete game shutout with 13 strikeouts, bouncing back from two kind of crummy starts at Boston and at Baltimore, but he won't have to go to those ballparks anymore. Matt Shoemaker, oh my goodness. Actually, guys, let me read all of these names here, and you can pick and choose who you want to talk about. There were a lot of good ones. Cole Hamels had a great start at the Cubs. 8 innings, 1 unearned run, and 7 strikeouts. Jacob deGrom threw a complete game shutout at the Phillies with 7 strikeouts. Adam Wainwright threw a complete game shutout against the Marlins with 5 strikeouts. Tanner Roark just keeps on doing it. 8 scoreless with 5 Ks against Pittsburgh. Masahiro Tanaka, I'm telling you people, after this start, you're going to want to start him this week. I think you might want to sit him because he is going to pitch on regular rest. And he's got a 5.33 ERA on regular rest. And he's got a 1.70 ERA on 5 days or more rest.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to sit him with as little starting pitcher depth as out there.
I think he's got the Giants at home, and unless they insert Chad Green in for a spot start, Tanaka's going to pitch on regular rest. But he was great last night against the best lineup in baseball. Iwakuma had a great start against the Astros. Julio Teheran bounced back from some crummy starts with a really good one against Colorado. And that's all I got. So Shoemaker, Hamels, DeGrom, Wainwright, Roark, Tanaka, Iwakuma, and Teheran. They were the best of the best this weekend, guys.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with Shoemaker since you marveled at him being only 82% owned. And I agree. That's like he's not just must own. He's been must start for me for the last several weeks. I guess it's the 5-9 record. He's had some bad luck with wins and losses even during this dominant stretch.
Well, and I would guess that there were some people that thought those two starts against Boston and Baltimore was the league catching up to him. I would guess his ownership went down over the last 2 weeks. I don't know that for sure, but that would kind of make sense.
It was never as high as I thought it would be, given how well he was pitching with all the swinging strikes. And
he got pretty close to 90. He was at 90, though, wasn't he?
Well, I can look it up.
Yeah, we can look it
up. Scott can figure these things out while he's looking it up. I don't know that I'm buying into Iwakuma. We've just seen this too many times against this Astros lineup. They seem to score 10 runs or they get shut out by
That's
a pitcher.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It's so weird.
Yeah, and he's been pretty bad this year. There's not been a whole lot to get excited about. I mean, he's still really close to must-own. I'm just only starting him against the best of matchups.
Okay.
Well, has he been really bad when we factor in the pitching adjustment? The 2016 pitching adjustment, because his ERA is just it's right at 4. I mean, that sounds high, but maybe it's not really high.
Yeah.
And he has, I mean, 10-6 record. I you know, that seems unsustainable with a 4 ERA, but he pitches deep into games and the Mariners have a pretty good lineup.
I would say he's been pretty fortunate to just have a 4 ERA.
Yeah. I don't like him, but I can't imagine under what scenario I'd drop him.
Well, that's why I said he's pretty much must-own. I'm just not going to start him very often.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Iwakuma. Scott, do you have the ownership on Shoemaker?
Not yet. I'm getting there.
Well, there's one other guy I want to highlight here.
Go for it.
And that's Adam Wainwright. And while I was out, Chris was hosting. Scott was commenting on Adam Wainwright and how it took him a while to get his leg right. He wasn't fully healthy, now he is, and the results have been so much better. And it's really hard to argue with what he's done. However, I want to point out he hasn't been on the road that much, and he's got a 2.54 ERA at home. He's got a 6.23 ERA on the road. I certainly don't expect it to be that bad, but I do wonder if he's just going to be sort of okay on the road.
Yeah, I mean, his last road start, he gave up 6 runs in 5 innings.
But with the one before that, I mean, I think it's been more like, he's more like a 6-inning, 3-run kind of guy on the road.
Yeah. I don't know that it makes a difference. I mean, the Cardinals don't have some circus ballpark, you know?
No, but their pitchers have pretty traditionally been much better at home than on the road, right? I mean, they have a good pitcher's ballpark.
I couldn't speak to that.
Well, they hack into people's computer databases, so that means they probably cheat when they're at home.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Right, Heath?
I think that's completely fair and accurate.
No, but it makes sense, right? He was pitching when he was struggling early in the season. They came to determine that the strength he had in his surgically repaired leg was only half of what he had in his strong leg. I can't remember which leg is which. I think the left leg was surgically repaired, and it was only half the strength. And so, you know, they've been conducting high jump tests and everything, and he's been working on the strength of that leg since, and now it's almost even, and, you know, that makes a big difference in mechanics when you have your plant leg, when you're able to plant on your plant leg the way you're supposed to.
Yeah, it does. All right, so I got to say something, guys. The pitching is not going to get any better tonight. The league ERA is going to go up at least half a run tonight. There are going to be so many runs scored, and that means there are a lot of good FanDuel hitting options tonight. There are actually some pretty good FanDuel pitching options today, but Drew Smyly of Colorado, no, not going to be him. And that's what's great about FanDuel. You never have to worry about your guy having a bad matchup. Just pick someone else. Go with John Lester or Jose Fernandez at Philadelphia. Contest start at just $1. No commitment. You play as often as you want on FanDuel. Enter multiple contests a day or just sit the day out if you're not feeling it. But you should definitely play today because your lineup's going to be pretty loaded. FanDuel gives you so many opportunities to play daily fantasy baseball and to win some money. Millions of users have won money on FanDuel. It's time to join the fun. Now, new users can basically enter their first contest for free. You enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, sign up with our promo code. It's HOMERUN. The promo code is HOMERUN with no spaces, one word, on FanDuel.com. Those are your great starts. Here we are pretty...
Do you want the Shoemaker stats?
Oh, yeah.
Twice. The high point for him in ownership was 87, and right now he's at 83, probably up a point since you did your notes.
Okay.
So, you know.
Good for
dropped
him.
A little.
So now... Pretty darn good starts. Colin McHugh had a pretty darn good start. 10 strikeouts, 4 walks, but scoreless over 6 innings at Seattle. Kyle Hendricks, cruising along, 6 scoreless innings, and they take him out after 87 pitches.
Yeah, why not?
That's what they do. Only 2 starts of 7 or more innings for Hendricks this year.
Gosh.
Jason Hamill, he's basically doing the same thing. He has eight straight starts for Hamill, throwing less than 100 pitches. That's not including a start he left early with a hamstring cramp. But it was good to see him bounce back and have a good start against Texas on Saturday. Josh Tomlin had another good start. Chris Tillman, I guess it was a good start. Only three strikeouts, but good results. Jake Odorizzi was good against Baltimore. Matt Moore was good against Baltimore. Anybody stand out there? McHugh, Hendricks, Hamill, Tomlin, Tillman, Odorizzi, and Moore. They're all owned in over 80% of leagues.
Man, Matt Moore, one strikeout against Baltimore, and he only gave up two runs. That's
very fortunate.
Yeah, that seems miraculous to me. Homer-prone pitcher against a homer-heavy lineup. But we talked about him. I guess... Who else stands here? I mean,
let me ask a question. You can answer it.
Yeah.
So I said McHugh, Hendricks, Hamill, Tomlin, Tillman, Odorizzi, and Moore. Of these guys, who do you see being close to must starts rest of season? Guys you're going to rely on as pitchers on your fantasy teams?
Probably Hamill comes the closest to me, and that's largely because of the supporting cast.
I am scared of that Hamill second half. I might say McHugh.
Really?
It's been a long time since he's had a bad start. He's given up more than three earned runs, not since June 9th. Strikeouts have been pretty good. The walks haven't been great, but I think I'd say McHugh. Right.
Yeah, I probably would. I'd probably put Tomlin and Tillman ahead of McHugh. And I want to put Hendricks ahead of McHugh because his ERA and WHIP are so good, but so rarely gets quality starts. It's really frustrating.
Well, Hendricks in Roto is better than he is in points leagues.
Yeah, I guess. And he is up to 8-6 now, so he hasn't gotten burned by the wins as much as he was earlier in the year with those quick hooks. But I don't know. They're all pretty boring. They're all probably rosterable, but you're not excited about any of them.
No, see, this is where I don't agree, and I think it's putting it in perspective, because I am excited. Every time Jason Hamill starts, I'm pumped, because I'd rather start him than like Archie Bradley. I'd rather start him than James Paxton. You know what I mean? It's just like beggars can't be choosers this year.
Oh, yeah, I think Hamill, Hendricks, and McHugh are all going to be pretty close to must-own the rest of the way.
Yeah, now Tillman, I kind of... I cross my fingers every time I start.
Yeah. But
he's 13-2.
He's going to keep getting the run support.
Yeah.
Can't imagine that 3.29 ERA will last.
All right. Next category. Possibly good, possibly not so good starts. I'm not really sure. Chris Archer, 7 1/3, 7 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, 2 home runs against Baltimore. Was that good?
That's great for 2016 Chris Archer. Are you kidding me?
I hate that he in a game where he issues only one walk, he still gives up 4 earned runs.
Yeah, and I don't think he gave up anything in the first inning this time.
No, he didn't. You're right, he didn't.
Yeah. Yu Darvish, 4 1/3, 2 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks, 9 strikeouts at the Cubs. Was that good?
It's encouraging. It's his first start back. I'm happy.
Steven Wright, 6 innings, 3 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts at the Yankees on Friday. Was that good?
If he does that every start, I think you'll be happy to start him every time. The Red Sox lineup. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'll call that good.
He looked so unhittable, and he just had one bad inning.
The pixie dust.
I'd be fine with it.
He saved up a little bit of pixie dust over the All-Star break, and it worked for the first 4 or 5 innings, but now he's clearly out.
Sonny Gray, 6 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts against Toronto. 6 swinging strikes. I swear I'm close to dropping Sonny Gray, even after this quality start against the Blue Jays.
No, don't.
Yeah, I'm just not really sure what the upside to that is. I'm kind of over Sonny Gray being a high-end fantasy option. But I don't know. It's kind of like the same situation with Michael Wacha. Like what?
Yeah, it's true.
What's so much better that you're going to drop somebody who's reliably decent?
Yeah. Now we're in a league. Heath and I are in a league where it's one full point for strikeouts. It's only a third of a point for an inning or something. Or no, it's a point for an inning instead of three.
It's the worst scoring system there's ever been created.
It's a pretty bad scoring system, yeah. And it's terrible for Sonny Gray. So in that format, I'm probably going to drop him soon. Because you need wins and strikeouts.
I can't account for the terrible scoring system.
Yeah, those are bad.
It's like the second worst thing about a baseball league other than
three game weeks.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Three game weeks are worse, but this is the second worst thing.
And I think this was a pretty good start. Anthony DeSclafani, 86% owned, 6 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, no walks and 8 strikeouts against Milwaukee on Friday. I thought he'd do a little bit better, but I don't think you can complain. And
That's a very good start.
Yeah, what do you guys think about DeSclafani? It seems right now it's pretty legit. Do you think it'll last?
2016 standards, I'm thrilled to get my hands on this guy right now. I don't think
he's the ace of the Reds.
I don't think he's going to measure up in terms of strikeouts, 2016 standards, but he'll be like a better Mike Leake, maybe.
Oh, I just saw the next section of notes, and I am not happy with you, Adam.
Wait a second. Before we get to the studs
being
duds. I
am not happy with you.
The studs being duds. What about, would you rather have DeSclafani or Shoemaker rest of season?
Come Shoemaker.
On. Okay. Was that a serious question?
Yeah. They're owned in, Shoemaker's less owned. It's not as serious for me. I know who I'd take. Studs being duds. I've got David Price here. I got Stroman. I got Garrett
Cole. You put him
Cole.
On the wrong list.
What?
Stroman belongs on the next list.
Fringy starting pitchers?
Yes.
But you know how these are sorted, right?
By ownership?
Yeah, he's 92% owned, so he doesn't go in the fringy starting pitchers. You think he should be? You think he should be less than 80% owned?
He should be less than Matt Shoemaker for sure.
Yeah, Stroman, another bad start at Oakland. Here are the guys who struggled. Price, Stroman, Garrett Cole. Would you start Cole this week against Philadelphia?
Absolutely.
Yep.
No question.
Even though it was a bad start back.
Okay, Samar just struggled. McCullers struggled. I wonder if he's over-owned at 92%. Kenta Maeda struggled. Jaime Garcia was, ugh. Pineda was horrible again. He's 83% owned. Anybody stand out to you on the duds list?
Like, there's two studs on this list.
Who, Price and Cole?
Price and Cole.
Yeah, I know.
I think Kenta Maeda is pretty close to a stud, too.
Hey, Samardzija was for a while.
Samardzija was for a while, but that's been like 6 weeks ago, hasn't it?
This list right here is pitching in a nutshell. I mean, it's like McCullers. You can't drop McCullers.
I know. I want to because like he's never been good enough to start, but his strikeout rate is ridiculous. So you're just holding on to him and hoping he starts throwing strikes.
Yeah, there's no way I'm cutting Price, Cole, McCullers, Maeda. And I'll probably keep holding on to Michael Pineda.
Yeah, there's one thing I wanted to say about Pineda.
Yeah.
He had a bad start against Chicago last time out the White Sox. That was bad. He's probably going to be bad this week against Baltimore. But that would mean that his last two starts were against Boston and Baltimore. Who struggled in their last two starts against Boston and Baltimore? Matt Shoemaker, as we just
said. And everyone else.
Yeah, so I feel like Pineda probably doesn't need to be 83% owned. But I do think there are some better starts coming after he's terrible this week.
Agreed. I'd rather have him than Jaime Garcia, or I think I'd rather have him than Samardzija.
All right, so let's talk about who to pick up then. Let's look at the fringy starting pitchers.
And definitely Stroman.
Shallower leagues here. Fringy starting pitchers between 65 and 79% owned. Adam Conley, who had a typical Adam Conley start. Not a lot of runs, but not a lot of innings. John Gray, he's 73% owned. Enough already, people.
He's
pick
a stud.
Up John Gray.
He's a stud.
Yeah. I want to look up his ERA since April because it's much better than his season 4.33 mark.
Well, I'll tell you it's this, Scott. Before this, the 9 starts before this 7 scoreless innings start, he had a 3.49 ERA, and that include a really bad start at the Yankees when Gray was pitching with a tired arm. So since getting blown up at St. Louis, Gray's been just really solid home and away.
Yeah.
Liriano was having a really good start before it came apart in the 7th inning. He couldn't get it out in the 7th at Washington on Friday. He's 73% owned.
Excuses.
Yeah, I know. Brandon McCarthy, 6 scoreless innings, 3 hits, 8 strikeouts at Arizona. He's 70% owned.
Good for him.
I didn't see him available in any league this weekend when I did my waiver claims, or else I would have put in.
Yeah,
it's kind of like DeSclafani. This is the kind of pitcher you got to get excited about these days.
I am considering though taking like McCarthy and maybe somebody else and trying to sell him right now for like a Garrett Cole. Or something.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get that deal done. Unless the somebody else is a lot better than Brandon McCarthy.
It would be like a Brandon McCarthy and, I don't know, maybe like a Danny Duffy. I don't even know if I'd do that, though.
I don't know if I would. I can understand trying that. I mean, I would suspect Gerrit Cole's owner is worried about Gerrit Cole right now. But to me, it's not a big enough sample to be there.
People, you need to go out and try to get Jake Arrieta. I've gotten so many questions about starting Jake Arrieta this week. First of all, would you guys start Jake Arrieta this week?
Well, who else do you have?
And the thing is, I know he's been struggling, and people aren't ready to drop him or anything like that, but if they're even considering benching him, that means there's some doubt in their minds, and you need to try to get Jake Arrieta immediately. Do you feel the same way about David Price after last night?
I don't feel the same way about David Price that I do about Jake Arrieta, no.
No, I know you like Arrieta more, but do you feel like you should still go out and do everything you can to get David Price on the cheap?
No.
Yeah. Really? What do you have against David Price?
Well, I mean, he's not been good this year. When you say do everything you can,
look, I'm not saying make a bad trade, but make some buy low offers here. I can't get too specific. I don't know what people have.
Isn't David Rice basically just a left-handed version of Corey Kluber now, which is still very good?
He's not been as good as Kluber this year, has he?
His ERA is higher, but I mean, in terms of really high strikeouts, obviously his starts are just, like Kluber's, they're either awesome or terrible. And I think the awesome starts, you're willing to live with the terrible.
I mean, I'd if it even continues, which I would bet on it not continue.
And a ton of innings, too.
Yeah.
I'm all about David Price. He was throwing 95, 96 yesterday. The velocity's not a problem anymore. He may not be as good as I thought he was going to be this year, but if somebody's selling, I'd buy it.
Me too.
All right. Are you interested in any of these guys? James Paxton, Yordano Ventura, Jeremy Hellickson, Bud Norris, Hector Santiago, Wei-Yin Chen, and Irvin Santana, Zach Davies, Jimmy Nelson, or CeCe Sabathia?
Well, I was just saying I was dropping Paxton in a couple leagues this weekend. He's still my favorite of this group. Second favorite would probably still be Sabathia, even though, this is five or six starts where he's given up four earned runs or more, five or six in a row.
Yeah.
So it's come unraveled here. I don't know. Joe Girardi was making excuses for him after this start. He said of the hits he allowed, like five of the nine hits he allowed were soft contact hits. So he thought he had a lot of bad luck. I don't know.
He had a lot of good luck to have a good third of a season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could look at it that way. It's just he hasn't even been the same pitcher throughout the whole season. Like, he had this big velocity spike a while back, and he's been able to sustain that.
Yeah.
Obviously, a new pitch in the cutter that he had so much success with early on. It seems perfectly plausible to me this could just be a rough patch. I mean, you're guessing either way, I feel like. So,
yeah.
I don't feel like you have to drop Sabathia. I don't feel like you have to drop Paxton.
I think I'd drop Sabathia for Hector Santiago, though.
I would, yeah.
I wouldn't.
I mean,
Hector Santiago's just a peripheral nightmare.
But I know he walks, home runs, and all that. He did make the All-Star team last year, so I think...
Yeah, he shouldn't have. It was a joke that he made the All-Star team.
No, he had a sub-3 ERA at the time.
I mean, that was the only thing, though.
Peripheral nightmare. What is CC Sabathia?
Well,
he's walking 3.6 batters per nine. He's striking out 7.1. I mean, CC Sabathia is not good. He's got a 1.4 whip. 1.39,
But the home run rate's good.
But that's the thing with him. The last five starts, he's given up five home runs. I think that's the big number for Sabathia.
And the home run rate has been terrible for four straight years. It's been good for a couple of months.
Here's the thing. Hector Santiago is performing well and is still a peripherals nightmare. Sabathia wasn't as bad peripherally before this rough patch.
Yeah, that's true. He's getting a lot of swings and misses. All right, how about these guys? Archie Bradley, Zach Eflin, Sean Manaea, Robbie Ray, Eduardo Rodriguez.
I think Manaea is somebody that I'm probably more excited about than anyone on this list. That's a pretty decent start.
Funny, it wasn't a start.
Pretty good outing against Toronto. Yeah. It ruined a two-start week.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Now, this is an instance where I think maybe we should check our, I don't know if sensibilities is the word, but because what were we just saying about Lance McCullers? That the strikeout rate's so high, you feel like you have to just keep him around.
So Robbie Ray?
Yeah. Why do we not feel the same way about Robbie Ray? And I don't, but I'm struggling to explain why. I mean, he's only 34% owned, so it seems like everybody feels that way.
Yeah, well, the results have not been good.
But the results haven't been good for McCullers.
Yesterday. You're right. They haven't.
Strikeout rate for Robbie Ray is 10.5 per nine. He's on pace for more than 200 strikeouts, but with a 4.49 ERA and a 1.51 whip.
Yeah, well, and that 1.51 whip is a lot better than McCullers. He's got a 1.6 something whip. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I can't believe we've gone this far without talking about Dylan Bundy. So I think he at least made it easy to leave him on waivers. But I'll start tomorrow's show with Dylan Bundy, who's 28% owned. And I watched his start. I have a lot to say about Bundy, and I want to know what I guess it'll be Heath and Chris tomorrow. But let's finish the show with some emails and some FanDuel tips for you. Man, there are so many bad pitchers going tonight. And did you find the same thing, Heath? Like, just so many hitters to like tonight on the FanDuel slate.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, with the Rockies, because they're going against Drew Smyly. Sure, you want to play right-handed Rockies. I'm not sure how excited I am against playing lefties against Drew Smyly. I think it will be really interesting with on the pitcher's side, because there's several really good pitchers with pretty good matchups going tonight. Jose against the Philadelphia's $12,000. You got Kluber against the Royals. He's dominated them. Lester and Matt's facing each other. Chris Sale against Seattle. But you play one of those guys on FanDuel and you're not going to be able to stack Coors.
No, but I don't think you need a stack Coors today, because I think the Orioles against Ivan Nova.
Well, they're not much cheaper.
Jonathan Scope's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I have a lineup. It's got Nick Hundley in it. It's got Mark Trumbo in it. I was going to do Corey Dickerson, because I feel like Corey Dickerson revenge game back in Colorado finally.
Right.
But,
I like that narrative.
But I spent $2,000 extra on Mark Trumbo instead. Javier Baez, I think, is a guy to start your lineup with, because he's $2,600 and he's facing Steven Matz, lefty, and he's already homered off Steven Matz. Jose Abreu is $2,800. They're facing Wade LeBlanc, so you could save some money there. Giancarlo Stanton is $3,100. I still think he's too cheap. He's going up against Aaron Nola. I mean, Nola's been horrible. And then Justin Upton is $2,300. Is he going to play tonight? Is he back, Justin Upton?
Yeah, he played yesterday.
Okay. $2,300, and they're facing Ricky Nolasco. So you could probably make some room for Coors if you use Javier Baez and Justin Upton. And Jose Abreu. They're all pretty cheap. But I didn't. I have Stanton, Upton, Trumbo, Baez, Nick Castellanos, who has good numbers against Nolasco, Kipnis, who has great numbers against Volquez, and Lester's my pitcher. So I do feel like I'm missing out on the Coors thing, but I just think there are going to be a lot of runs tonight.
Really interesting. I want to see how you feel about this BVP. Curtis Granderson against Lester.
I saw that. Yeah, Granderson's $3,100. He's got really good numbers against Lester.
947 OPS and 49 plate appearances with 3 home runs. Hosmer's had some success against Kluber. I don't know how you could put a lineup together without Matt Wieters.
Because I went with Hundley, but yeah, you could go with Wieters. What's his numbers against Nova are good?
351, 455, 757. 4 home runs and 44 plate appearances against Nova.
Wow. I also like Minnesota against Matt Boyd. As I mentioned, the White Sox against Wade LeBlanc. Cincinnati against Matt Whistler. It's a bad park for Matt Whistler. So, Jacoby Ellsbury, 4-for-22 against Gausman. Gausman, I think, Heath, is a sneaky play tonight. He's pretty good against the Yankees usually.
Yeah.
And then the two guys that, this is interesting. I think Nova stinks, and I think the Orioles will have a big game against him. Adam Jones is 8-for-43 against Ivan Nova, and Manny Machado is 4-for-22 against Ivan Nova. So you might not want to pony up for those guys.
They're due.
Maybe. Quickly on emails here. Chris from Newfoundland. Dear John, Melvin, and Ringo. Who the heck is Melvin? I don't know. I drafted Syndergaard and Arrieta. Unfortunately, they're facing each other this week. Should I start both, one, or neither of these pitchers?
Both.
Oh, man. 2016, we're still having this question.
Start
both. Of
course
both. Yeah.
Jeff and Madison, dear John, Jake, and Mary Had a Little.
Lambs.
Sounds like lambs.
About a month ago, I traded Will Myers for Jose Abreu straight up. I thought I had done pretty well at that time, but now I'm not so sure. Would you have done this trade then a month ago? And if so, would you still do it now? Give up Will Myers for Jose Abreu.
I recently moved Myers ahead of Abreu and Trumbo ahead of Abreu, for what it's worth. I think all three are similar players. And I'm hopeful Abreu turns it around, but couldn't guarantee it. I wouldn't have done it. I would have done what you did a month ago. I would have traded Myers for Abreu, and I would be in the same position you are now.
Regret.
Just hoping Abreu turns it around.
But I wouldn't do it now.
Yeah.
I need two pitchers this week. This is from, I don't know, didn't give a name. Two start Nola, one start Rich Hill. I guess that's Rich Hill. Can't do him.
Can't trust him, no.
One start Bauer at Baltimore, John Gray at home against Atlanta, Hellickson at home against Miami. And who the heck is Gerard?
Well, I think that Nola's the easy one. And then I would probably go with Gray.
Yeah. I don't think Nola's easy at all.
Yeah, I have not decided that he just sucks now.
I have decided that he sucks, but I'd like to see him do at least fairly well before I put him back in my lineup.
Well, want to start Bauer on the road at Baltimore over him?
No, I think you got to go with him, I guess.
Okay.
Or Hellickson.
Nah.
Yeah.
All right. And rest of season, this is from Colin. Better source of steals, Trey Turner or Travis Jankowski?
Jankowski.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather own Trey Turner, but if you were just asking me to bet who will have more season steals from now till the end of the season, I would have to say Jankowski.
That's it for the show. Back tomorrow to talk about Dylan Bundy and a lot more. See you later, everybody. Machado.